You're listening to MRI Uncensored with your host, Matt Rederer, CEO of Right Advantage, your go-to podcast for all things MRI. No ear protection needed.
Hello and welcome to MRI Uncensored. My name is Matt Rederer. We are lucky today to have Dr. Luca Bartolini with us, MRI specialist and author of Artifacts and Technical Solutions in MR Diagnostic Imaging. Hello, Luca. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hello, Matt. Thank you so much about your invitation. It's very proud to be here. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So you have created quite a name for yourself in the area of advanced MRI technique and artifacts. What motivated you to specialize in this area?
Well, artifacts is a universal thing. At the beginning, when I was young, at the beginning of my career, I found every day artifacts on my pictures, and I was not able to solve. Radiologists told me, Luca, this picture is no good. We have artifacts. I can't write a good report. And I was not able to solve. And it was a really frustrating thing, right?
Yeah.
At a specific moment, I decided to study. Okay. I search on Google, obviously. Google know all things about the world. Almost all things. Okay, almost all. I find the first in Italian language, but poor material. And then in English language. And then I found some interesting website, for example, or paper books, or like a book, for example, or a scientific paper, okay, online, free scientific paper, and I started to study every day, and then I was able at the specific moment to solve some of my problems, not all of my problems, but some of those. And after, I don't know exactly, but 1 year, I had got a great quantity of material, both theory and the case report produced by myself, okay? And I decided to write my book, okay? And when I decided this thing, I fired me from all of my job. I was and I am a freelance. I decided to fire me from all of my job, and I dedicated an entire year of my life studying and writing my book. This is my road.
It must have been scary taking a year off and not knowing what would happen, if things would pan out.
Yes. Yes, really, it was a really challenge for me, because there were a great quantity of material, but explode in different ways. For example, I could find some information in one paper, one solution for this specific artifact in in a book, and others solution in, for example, an online website. And this was a great work to put all together the information.
You see that there's an artifact on your image. What process, what mindset do you go through to identify what that artifact is?
First, the most important thing is the aspect of the picture. It manifests as a ghost, for example, ghosting, as a line, as a multi-line, or, I don't know, a solarization of the picture, or I can find a loss of signal, decreasing signal-to-noise ratio, for example. This is the first thing, the aspect of the artifact. Then Other thing is the type of sequence used. Grady Recoded Echo, for example, Spin Echo, Fast Spin Echo, Turbo Spin Echo, Echo Planner Imaging, okay. And finally, if necessary, is very useful to know the advanced technique applied to the sequence. For example, I was using the parallel imaging, sense, asset, compressed sensing, radical case space, and so on. This is the three most important thing for me.
Perfect. So you said the aspect of the image. The what was the second one again?
The second is the type of sequence used.
Okay.
Gradient, recorded echo, spin echo. Okay.
So the third one was just any additional filtering or any type of parallel imaging that you're using on the image?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Parallel imaging in particular.
Perfect. Being in the field for a long period of time, we see a lot of artifacts, and the normal ones like chemical shift or susceptibility artifacts, you know, we can kind of work our way through it, identify those. The one that I found the most fascinating from your book, case space artifacts, sometimes those can get a little tricky. Is there any special tricks that you have in distinguishing between a hardware artifact, case space artifact?
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's clear. Well, I would like first to give you a tricks to avoiding the risk to see artifacts. It's better probably. Okay. I would like to give you a tricks to avoiding the risk of to see artifacts on our pictures. Well, first thing, the most important thing, is a regular check by the field service engineering of the brand. So many different artifacts, difficult to recognize, can be induced by the hardware failure, okay? But the checking by the field service engineering costs a lot, obviously, but it's really important, avoiding the risk to have the artifacts, okay? Second, the patient preparing, obviously, only sleep and put on something light, disposable, absolutely no iron, obviously, not only to the risk of susceptibility artifacts, but safety, okay? And absolutely okay. No makeup, because makeup must be removed to preserve the magnet homogeneity, okay? Because in a long time, the iron, the particles of the wake makeup can be attached to the gantry, reducing the homogeneity, okay? In particular with a high field system, 3 Tesla, for example, reducing the quality of spectral saturation, okay? Third, follow the instructions of the manual about patient positioning, in particular when you are using strongly the parallel imaging. So many different artifacts can be induced by a wrong positioning. Only one example. When you are acquiring the coronal view of the abdomen, the arm must be put on, okay? If the patient can do it, obviously, because less anatomy on the phase encoding direction, generally right-left, less risk about wraparound and ghosting induced by the parallel imaging. For example, this is only one example, okay? And fourth, the most important thing is study. Never stop studying, being curious and studying so much. And this is the fourth more important thing, avoiding the risk to see artifacts on your picture. And then, if you see the artifacts on your picture, well, it's not easy. But for me, I can say that for me, the most important thing to recognize the type of artifact is see the picture. You can see these artifacts only in one picture, in one slice, or on all slices of the package. This is a very important thing to see. It happens always when acquire a specific sequence on a specific plane, or it's sporadic, once a week, once a month, I don't know. What happens if you change the phase encoding direction? This is a very important thing, because the most of artifacts happens on the phase encoding direction. For example, movement, but not only this. If I change the phase encoding direction, what happens? The direction of the artifacts change or not? This is a very important information, because if the direction doesn't change, it could be a hardware problem. For example, the first spike, for example, due to the losing of connection between the electronic and the coil. Okay. And then another important thing to know is what the scanner used, just because the same artifacts can manifest itself in different ways if I acquire on, for example, General Electric or Philips or Siemens or Canon, Esaote, I don't know, okay, Hitachi, and so on. And this is why I decided to create my online section of the book with the brand section, because it's a really great challenge to recognize the artifact and be able to solve on all of our systems, General Electric, Philips, and Siemens. This is really, 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 really strong.
A lot of people don't know this, but not only do you have the book out, The Artifacts and Technical Solutions in MR Diagnostic Imaging, you also created a website to kind of expand on this book, and it offers a lot more for technologists to look at and learn. And now you said that you're also expanding into more vendor-specific, Philips, Siemens, GE, which is actually really neat. That's a really neat, smart thing to do. Now, where do you see yourself and your book and your career in 5 years?
Mm-hmm. I'm working right now to improve the online contents every day. I'm studying to improve the contents. At the moment, Esaote's section is really, Esaote is an Italian MR brand, low field brand. I am a consultant for Esaote. I work directly with this brand, and it's easy to me to create a section of this specific brand, just a little bit stronger for another brand, for example, General Electric, Philips, and Siemens in particular. And I engaged some of my friends, colleagues that are creating the contents for this specific section. This will take a long time and great effort. I hope to create the Philips section until the end of this year, I hope. Summer, I hope. Okay. But I don't know exactly, because it's a really, really, really strong work. And the book, obviously, is the base, common to all brands. And the specific brand section is the next level to improve the image quality. I hope to find some help from the directly from the brand employees, for example, application specialists or physicists or engineers, but I don't know. At the moment, I'm working with myself and with my friends, colleagues, to improve the content. Matt, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. So you know, I have one more question for you, Luca. Now, in terms of artifacts, Are there any artifacts specific to maybe an open MRI, for example, open bore MRI? Or
well, open MR, the most artifacts are the same, okay. But generally, the difference is about susceptibility, and because open MR are made by a permanent magnet, usually not superconductive, the homogeneity is less, okay, respect than to the superconductive, and the signal to noise ratio is less, and the technologist must be very precise, patient positioning, and signal to noise optimization, and the field of view, the real field of view is smaller than the superconductive system, and the positioning must be perfect, absolutely, because the picture you can see at the periphery of the fob, you can see a great distortion usually. Okay, not always. It depends about what you are scanning. For example, for the wrist, there is no problem. Small fob, but for a hip, for example, when you use a very, very great fob, big fob, some problem can happen. But low field system usually has less problem about distortion due to the prosthesis, for example, to iron, the distortion in the center of the at ISO center is less pronounced than the high field system. Other things, it depends on the brand of low field MRI of open system MRI. The aspect of the artifacts can change.
My other question is with high field. What other artifacts specific to high fields, maybe 3T and above, do you typically see?
Okay, well, I never worked with a 3 Tesla system, for example, but based on the theory, well, susceptibility obviously is higher, chemical shift is higher, safety is another thing, SAR, but talking about artifacts, well, there's no so many different between 1.5 and 3 Tesla. It depends about the brand, the type of magnet, short bore, long bore, and so on. We can talk about, for example, the spectra saturation. Well, the quality of a spectra saturation on 3 Tesla is usually lower, but it depends on the technique applied.
So you're referring to fat saturation, so the spectral saturation.
Spectral saturation, fat saturation, essentially, yes. And but usually 3 Tesla Siemens, 3 Tesla system use a high level shimming, second level usually, to improve the quality of spectral saturation, fat saturation. In particular, using the adiabatic RF system, SPEER, okay, a commercial name. SPEER is a commercial name. And, other things apart chemical shift, homogeneity, and fat saturation, I don't know, not so many different between 1.5 and 3 Tesla.
Okay. Now, you had mentioned too, short bore versus long bore, wide bore. When you start talking about the differences between these, are we more worried about these fast saturation, spectral saturations, and homogeneity of these magnetic fields in terms of a difference between them, or is there more to it?
Mm-hmm. Well, as I told before, the short bore in particular, and the wide bore with a 70 centimeters of diameter, homogeneity is usually less than a long bore, and the quality of fat saturation, spectral saturation, is less in this situation when you need to make a good fat saturation, for example, when you use a contrast enhancement, you have two ways, where more than two, but the principle are two. You can make a stitching, you can acquire more for moving the patient and then stitching the picture, have a real fov longer there. Or you can use a different technique. For example, steer inversion recovery is the most used in the world, but obviously the fat saturation is very good in this specific case, but you can do it with the contrast enhancement, okay? Well, in this specific case, the best choice probably is the using of Dixon technique, different commercial name for different brand, M. Dixon for Philips, Ideal for General Electric, okay? For Esaote, for example, the name is Exbon, so many different commercial names, but the result is the same. Strong fat saturation, very homogeneous due to the techniques applied. And you can do it with in T1 weighted and with contrast enhancement, obviously. Different with the steer, okay? And talking about Dixon, you can choose between two different technique, Dixon 2-point or 3-point. The first one is more light than 3-point, but usually the quality of the fat suppression, not suppression, subtraction, is less, because in particular when you have a strong inhomogeneity, in normal condition, no problem. But when you have a strong inhomogeneity, for example, neck shoulders region, or with the prosthesis, for example, with iron, a 3-point Dixon based on fast spin echo technique can produce a really strong, very, very good fat saturation. General Electric called the Ideal, and I don't know at the moment other brand, but in general we are talking about Dixon method.
Perfect. So when you say there's a different points, that you said there was two different types of Dixon subtraction fat saturation techniques. What are you referring to? I'm not 100% sure everyone's familiar with that.
Okay, not all systems. 2-point Dixon, yes, I think in my experience all system have it. Low field system also, but the 3-point, and in particular the Dixon based on fast spin echo sequence, not all system. It depends on the brand and in the release software, for example, all the release of superconductive system also don't have this technique. It depends on the system and the release software.
You know, you bring up a great point with these Dixons, is that you can do them pre and post contrast. They're very good at getting around some of this susceptibility artifact from less homogeneous magnetic field when we're scanning necks or breasts or other larger patients maybe. So I think that's a great point that you bring up that is not utilized probably as much as it should be, you know, in scanning patients.
Yeah, sure. You can apply it all in all region in particular, and you can apply it also with the radial case space, for example, in the new release software or in high field system, the principal high field system. Dixon is the present and the future, probably. It depends on the eyes of the radiologist, because not all radiologists like the Dixon contrast. FATSAT, special, classic, spear, spire, okay, FATS, are a system that are used for so many years, and the radiologist have got this specific contrast in their eyes, a notable radiologist like Dixon, but in a specific situation, Dixon is a must. You can do the spectral FATSAT, spectral saturation, when you have a prosthesis, for example. It's not impossible, but yes, it's impossible. Okay. In particular, with a high field system.
Okay. Now, I think, you know, there's also one point to this, Luca, too, that I think individuals lose. When doing a Dixon technique, when you change your TE, you can start to get these black borders around structures on your image. And it actually, it sometimes looks a little bit, it looks like it's on purpose, but it's not. Or even on just regular sequences, if you're not doing a Dixon. And so paying attention to your TE is very important.
Yes, sure. Absolutely. If we are talking about two-point Dixon based on gradient echo sequence, the TE is blocked. You can't change because it's blocked to in-phase and out-phase. A gradient recoiled echo, 2 points, needs to have, and 3 points also, it needs to have a specific TE in-phase and out-phase to produce, to apply the Dixon algorithm based on the out and in-phase picture acquired before. Talking about the fast spin echo sequence, yes, you can change the TE in a small range, usually. Tomograph can't afford the great changing because the algorithm could fail, okay? And the contrast could change and increase the risk to have the famous, very famous swap artifacts, okay? This is why you can't change strongly the TE. In my practice, the changing of TE depend on the system. You can't do the same change on fast spin echo Dixon, on Siemens, General Electric, and Philips. You have to think in different modality because the engineer, when construct the sequence, they have to put the spoiler here, rewind here, a gradient here, and every system has its variability.
Thank you so much. Thank you for writing artifacts and technical solutions in MR diagnostic imaging and making a website also to help technologists just be better.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
If you haven't already, please reach out and take a look at the book Artifacts and Technical Solutions in MR Diagnostic Imaging. It's a great resource for any MRI technologist working in the field to evaluate any artifacts they might see in their image and also how to remedy them. If you have any questions that I can answer for you or I can send to Luca, please reach out to me at mrederer, R-E-D-E-R-E-R, at writeadvantage, R-I-T-E, advantage.com, and I can send those over to Luca. Again, thank you everyone for joining us today, and we will see you next time.